Dreaming of trains. We've been dreaming of trains since we learned yesterday that Warren Buffett made a big play for the railroads. You know, these days, being a billionaire has a certain allure. Warren Buffett's a billionaire. It gets you another
term.
What gets you another term is mayor of New York City. Michael Bloomberg has a certain pizzazz. Warren Buffett is a powerful guy. You see him on the media all the time. Right. But does he match this sort of thing?
I've been playing hide and seek with the Pullman conductor ever since the train left New York.
How awkward for you.
Yes, isn't it? No place to sleep.
I have a large drawing room all to myself.
That doesn't seem quite fair, does it?
Drawing room E, car 3901.
Such a nice number.
Oh, yes. Once upon a time, the railroads were actually sexy. There's Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint in Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest. They may be, again, these sexy trains, but not passenger rails. No, the boring freight trains.
Right.
That's right. The hot button in the 21st century.
You said boring.
Well, not to Warren Buffett, who announced yesterday that he will plunk down $34 billion for Burlington Northern Santa Fe Corporation, betting that moving freight is the future.
I just basically believe this country, you know, will prosper and you'll have more people moving more goods 10 and 20 and 30 years from now, and the rail should benefit. But it's a bet on the country, basically.
This is a huge story. I mean, the rail magnates are associated with the 1800s, but what does it mean to be a railroad baron in the 21st century? Still with us is Phil Longman, senior research fellow at the New America Foundation. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
And T.J. Stiles also joins us. He's the author of The First Tycoon, The Epic Life of Cornelius Vanderbilt, who was the original railway baron in the United States. T.J. Stiles, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Phil Longman, what does it mean to make this $34 billion bet that Warren Buffett made yesterday? What does it mean to be a railroad baron in the 21st century?
Well, railroads went through a long decline in the 20th century. We almost lost them altogether in the 1970s. But since then, they've been making quite a comeback, especially on freight. Turns out that they're just a lot more economical and environmentally friendly than trucking, especially for long distances. So rail's been slowly gaining in profitability. It's also consolidated to the point where we really do have almost monopolistic conditions out there some places. And so Warren's, as usual, made a good call.
Now, you know, you said at the top of the hour that he got this for a bargain. I mean, the federal government has barely invested $10 billion in, you know, future light rail infrastructure and even in supporting Amtrak. So for a private sector investor to make a $34 billion bet, is this the kind of thing where that money goes into upgrading Burlington Northern Santa Fe, or is Warren Buffett just positioning himself to collect all the pennies from increased demand for freight?
Well, we'll see. It's a very capital-intensive business, and it needs investment to grow for things like new track and such. But just to get a sense of the scale, you know, $8 billion is going out the door for high-speed rail, and we're hardly going to get any trains, and
right.
Many of them will have to pay Burlington Northern Santa Fe to run them on their tracks.
This is an expensive industry. And T.J. Stiles, that was the story of Cornelius Vanderbilt. Building the railroads was not necessarily a profitable venture in the United States until the oil business came around, the energy business came around. How did that work?
Well, you're right. The first people who built railroads, some of them were built by state governments, were actually publicly owned. And a lot of those lines went bankrupt, and they got swallowed up. You know, Cornelius Vanderbilt, who was the greatest of the 19th century railroad tycoons, did not build new lines. He took over these small original lines and consolidated them and brought order to this new industry in America.
Now, in a sense, then, you're saying that Warren Buffett actually is following directly in the footsteps of Cornelius Vanderbilt, although he did say yesterday that he loves the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Corporation management.
Well, I think it's very different. In the 19th century, rail was everything. You know, the railway industry towered over America, and it was a young, growing industry with a lot of new companies that were failing. I mean, it was a lot like the dot-com boom and bust. You know, there were a lot of dot-com companies that were huge that disappeared, and that was the case in the early railway industry. Today, as you just heard, we've got railway companies that have consolidated, and that order that Cornelius Vanderbilt brought to the industry is already there. Warren Buffett is moving in when you know, things are kind of more stable than they once were.
So, Phil Longman, let's talk a little bit about this $34 billion investment. A huge fraction of Burlington Northern's freight is just in coal. One could say mm-hmm. that all Warren Buffett is betting on is that there's going to be increased demand for coal. Is there more to it than that?
Yeah. Burlington Northern does move a lot of coal, but also moves a lot of grain, and moves a lot of containers on their way from China to Walmart. So it's a much more diversified business than that.
I see. So who's to be happy this morning? People who work for the railroads, people who maintain track? If you're an Amtrak employee, is this a good thing?
Well, Burlington Northern generally has a good relationship with Amtrak, unlike the other roads. So, yeah, it's good for Amtrak. It's good for all of us out there who have come to pay more attention to trains, including freight trains, because they're so much more environmentally friendly than trucks. Warren Buffett may succeed in getting a lot of trucks off the road, and I think that'll make a lot of drivers happy.
Phil Longman, I'm wondering, how much is Warren Buffett betting also that the use of trains is going to diversify? And obviously, there's a difference between freight and passenger. But, you know, in the discussions yesterday, I was talking about how I moved cross-country by shipping my entire house on a train and how environmental it was and how cheap it was. And two people spoke up, surprisingly to me, and said, wait, I did the same thing. Is Warren Buffett thinking that as we move forward that other people are going to see the rails as a kind of a creative alternative?
Yeah, I hope he is, because we used to have all kinds of services in this country that provided by rail that we don't even think of as possible anymore. People 50 years ago would routinely have the Railroad Express Agency ship the refrigerator to their country cabin for the summer because the economics and physics of rail made that possible. Now we're paying $50 to bring our dirty laundry home on the airlines. So there's a lot of good things that can come out of making better use of rail, including on package freight.
That's an interesting takeaway. C.J. Stiles, how much of the infrastructure from the Cornelius Vanderbilt era has gone away in the decline of the railroads, and what would it take to restore it and to actually have railroad be as penetrated an infrastructure in American society as it once was?
Well, that's one of the problems with rail, is that, when it was first developing, it required government assistance for right-of-way and things like that. And governments are very friendly to rail because it brought development to towns and communities. Today, rail is seen as an annoyance to many communities because we have so many more modes of transportation. And that's one of the problems that rail still faces, even though I agree, I think the long-term future is bright. But, you know, people don't like it when you lay new track, when you try to improve the infrastructure. Right now in Chicago, there's tremendous congestion with freight trains trying to run through Chicago, which is still a major rail hub. That's what made Chicago great, and it still is a major rail hub. But they need to do a lot of fresh construction to clear up the bottlenecks there. And nobody wants a rail line running through their town. So there are some challenges there because our attitude toward rail as a country has really changed over the last, it's a 180-year-old technology.
Right.
And our relationship to it has completely changed. So I think as fuel prices rise and we worry about the environment, rail does have a bright future, but it does have these challenges. And a lot of that infrastructure has been ripped up or is aging and will need replacing. So it is very capital intensive.
All right. T.J. Stiles is the author of The First Tycoon, The Epic Life of Cornelius Vanderbilt. He was the original railway baron, and the remnants of his companies are in the CSX system, which actually operates in the East, among other places. Phil Longman, take us out with this. So what would it take to get the federal subsidy for truck lines and the interstate highway system to shift over to maybe restore some of this rail infrastructure politically?
Well, I think a lot of folks, including highway planners around the country, are realizing that it's a lot more efficient to put some public money into increasing the capacity of railroads than it is to add more lanes to interstate highways so trucks can go on them.
Does Warren Buffett make that argument easier? Does Warren Buffett make that argument easier in just a few seconds?
Well, people wonder why we need to give capital to a billionaire's railroad.
So it may make it more difficult.
I wonder that
myself. It may complicate it. Indeed, Phil Longman, Senior Research Fellow at the New America Foundation, The Next Progressive Era, A Blueprint for a Broad Prosperity, is his book. Phil, thanks for joining us. We're talking about the implications for the American economy of Warren Buffett buying the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad.